Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough. Joining me today, he went 4-0 in the Super Bowl, and he also went, oh, wait a second, Richard, you gave me the wrong introduction again. Today's guest isn't Terry Bradshaw, it's Paul Bradshaw. Sorry about that, Paul. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Paul Bradshaw.
Well, Mark, good morning. It's great to be here and good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, your name is confusing, Terry Bradshaw, and then there's Paul Cronshaw. Do you know Paul Cronshaw?
Well, I don't. I think, actually, I should have done better show prep. It's Paul Brad Ford, as in, like, you know, the William Bradford, the pilgrim guy.
Do you know, I have, I introduce you as Paul Bradford? I have Paul Bradford.
Oh, you said Bradshaw.
Well, then I said
Bradshaw.
Oh, you know what?
You know,
I wrote it down twice.
I get called everything under the sun, including, hey, Brad. I get that a lot. So no harm, no foul on that. But, yeah, we could talk about William Bradford. Family lore is that we are, in fact, related to him, but I don't really want to know the actual chronological truth because it's better telling the narrative that we are, in fact, related.
Well, I confuse myself because Paul Cronshaw was the co-founder of the Santa Barbara Beekeepers Association. He's been on over the years. So I wrote his name down, screwing around with your name, and then I mistype your name as Bradshaw.
Oh, no problem.
So,
no problem.
We'll stick with Bradford. Paul Bradford. And we're going to talk about a group that he's involved with, which is challenging or discussing some high-density apartments and another development nearby near the Patterson and Kyrial 101 area. But before we jump into that, I just was interesting that back in November 1998, I started the program, and Jean Graffy was my either second or third guest. Loved her. She came on after that, and her children, Aaron and Neil, have come on. And in fact, she originally came on because she had run, was it the county supervisors, and she won and lost the election, and you were actually working with her. What's that connection with you and Jean Graffy?
Sure, yeah, it goes back to 94. I was working on her campaign kind of on a secondary level. I wasn't the campaign lead and got to know her briefly through different events and things we were doing to help the campaign. And then when she won, she reached out and said, hey, would you consider filling this chief of staff role that I've got? And you know, a couple of weeks later, after a few meetings, and she offered the job. And it was just an amazing experience to work with. You know, I wasn't the person to coin this phrase, but she really was sort of the Margaret Thatcher of Santa Barbara. She had a gracious resolve and sort of was a velvet hammer, and just was able to show that resolve generously and with respect for folks. And that's sort of a lesson I take with me today, her ability to disagree on issues, but to always attack issues, ideas, rather than people.
She was. I never heard that. I love that, Margaret Thatcher. And you, Chief of Staff, reminds me, didn't they base your character on the Netflix House of Cards? The Chief of Staff? Well, that guy was nasty.
Well, I'm only slightly to the moral side of that was a great show, but he was certainly a very shady character, no question.
Yeesh.
I hope I had a better reputation than that.
Well, that's great. That's great. And Jean Graffy was so gracious to come on the program right after she lost the election. And because I don't have people running for office on the air because, you know, you have one, you have the other. So I made it kind of a thing to have people on after they lost the election to talk about that. So she was very gracious. So Paul Bradford, he talk about a couple of developments, a high-density apartment at the intersection of Kyrial and Patterson, three-story, 27 units, and then something right at the northbound off-ramp at Patterson. We'll talk about that. But just as your background, it's kind of interesting that a lot of people who might be in your shoes wouldn't have your background. You actually worked for a developer that developed a project right in that neighborhood.
Yeah, in fact, it's sort of small town stuff. When I worked with Gene, this site on the corner by the off-ramp was the site of the then-proposed Jack in the Box, and our local group back then was called PANA, and they were the ones that raised some concerns about traffic safety on that particular site just due to its configuration and the realignment of Kyrial. It really made that site constrained through no fault of the owners of the property. It just is what it is. That was that. But then I worked for a home builder. I spent 30 years in marketing, and a lot of that was in the home building industry for builders. And we actually entitled the project that we now live in. My wife and I raised our three boys here, and very similar scenario is that the county wanted us to build 40 units, and we went to the neighborhood and said, gee, what if we were to build 20 homes, very similar densities to the existing neighborhood, and we got incredible support from a no-growth neighborhood for that. So the neighborhood as a whole is not no-growth. It just wants things to be done thoughtfully, and that's been the challenge, is that both of these two projects that have kind of cropped up are just so far out of the norm in terms of their densities. And so, you know, you're looking at the apartment project. It's three stories right on the corner of Chiral and Patterson, and they're asking for nearly 17 units per acre when the surrounding neighborhood is typically 4 to 5 homes per acre. And so that's where we're sort of scratching our heads. And the sort of irony in that is that the developer for one of those projects, Trudy Curry, who I really like, we get along well, and she's been generally a very good neighbor, supported or joined with us in opposing that 80 North Patterson site for a lot of the same issues, traffic safety and scale and compatibility, and she was joining us in opposing that. Now she's proposing a high-density three-story project. The big overarching thing is that the state is really driving the bus on this. So the state issues the guidelines to the county board gives direction to staff, and staff's trying to build as many units as they can. So I think Trudy, in this case, is in a rock and a hard place where I think she's kind of hesitant to reduce densities down for fear that she'll lose staff support. So this is the rock and a hard place that builders find themselves in, and the neighborhood gets kind of caught in a crossfire.
And the irony is that your development was at about 20 years ago, where you went, where the state or the county was looking for you to do 40 units, and you change it to 20 units. It was about 20 years ago, and that was acceptable. And I don't know, what was that a number per acre? Do you remember?
We're at about 4, yeah.
Oh, so that was, as you said, about compatible with the neighborhood, and they're proposing 17 units per acre versus
just about,
the
yeah,
4 or 5.
Point, 16 point something.
Wow. Paul Bradford, so a history of development, knowing both sides of the issue, and now part of the group, is it called Patterson Neighborhoods?
Yeah, and that's sort of funny. I never in a million years would have thought of myself as a sort of a citizen activist until the 80 North Patterson project cropped up, and that's kind of when I looked at it and thought, gee, you've got 85% of the traffic exiting that proposed project would scoot all the way across all 4 lanes of northbound Patterson to access the U-turn lane to then access 101 in either direction, and that just made no sense to us. In fact, one planning commissioner called it a clear and present danger of traffic risk. So I look at that, and so I thought, this just doesn't seem right. So I got together with some immediate neighbors, and we thought, well, gee, what if we just wrote a letter to our fellow neighbors and told them what the issues were, and we got about 235 neighbors to say, yep, we agree, this doesn't make much sense. And so we appealed the original decision to the Board of Supervisors, and we were able to get the lower decision overturned to stop the project. And now we're up to about 350 families in the area who are just concerned about traffic safety and parking and preserving the character of the neighborhoods. And again, big picture, the state is really driving the bus on this, and they're just trying to shoehorn in density at all costs. And that's where we, you know, again, we look at the issue of density and think it's fine in an urban area, but don't apply that same requirement on folks who have chosen to live in a more suburban community.
That's my guest, Paul Bradford of Patterson Neighborhoods is the name of the group. If you Google Patterson Neighborhoods, you'll find the website. That's the second time you said the state is driving the bus, and it made me think that if it won't be an Uber unless Prop 22 passes, that's why they have to drive the bus. But the 80 North Patterson, so if you're exiting the 101 as you're driving north, you exit at Patterson, and yeah, you get to the stop sign and at the corner of Chiral, this would be to the immediate right?
Correct, yeah. In fact, if you go to the website, on the very bottom of the homepage is sort of the About section. There's a little graphic that just shows the traffic complexities of that area. Again, it's through no fault of the owner. When Chiral was realigned probably 25, 30 years ago to its current configuration, this site kind of got orphaned. And I feel badly for them, but that's just the nature of the way things went. And it's sort of the Wild West in this, in terms of the traffic movement. You got traffic coming over Patterson at sometimes 40, 50 miles an hour, two lanes of off-ramp traffic turning right, and it's sort of free-form. The guys in the right lane can go all the way to the left and vice versa. It just, you look at the graphic and you go, oh, I get it now. It's just a challenging, challenging section. And so that site, we would say, gee, we would just want the lowest possible traffic use possible, and that should really guide the planning decisions.
Well, I wonder if the people who were against the Jack in the Box wish they would have let that gone through.
Well, the challenge with that is the same thing. They had a similar level of ingress and egress. In fact, what Jean did back in the day was this: she was sort of caught in the crossfire as well. Was they came in and they proposed a Jack in the Box with a drive-through. And so the drive-thru would have been just disastrous. You think about the drive-thru on Turnpike and Calle Real for the new Starbucks, and there's people that are backed up onto Calle Real right now all the time. And so that would have been compounded on this site at 80 North Patterson. And so what Jean did, that the solution was to avoid a lawsuit, she agreed to approve the restaurant per se, but denied the drive-thru. And so that really did two things. It really de facto stopped the project, but it also avoided the lawsuit for the county and the taxpayers.
The In-N-Out Burger are fortunate to have so much real estate that they could handle the big lines.
Exactly.
And I didn't know that about the Starbucks. I've driven by there at 9 o'clock at night and seen people online. I don't know, in line. I don't know what they're doing at 9 o'clock at night at a Starbucks, but they're buying coffee. Yeah, well, Jack in the Box, I wouldn't have supported anyway. Now, if they put a Carl's Jr. at that corner, that would be nice. Maybe they should just have their own exit and their own, and, you know, yes, they need their own exit and entrance for their drive-through. You know, or just have it right on the exit ramp.
Yeah,
you just drive right up and pull right back onto the exit ramp. That would work. My guest is Paul Bradford. If you want to find out about the group Patterson Neighborhoods, you can Google that online. This unfortunate piece of real estate, I hear what you're saying, you know, the state, the 101 exit kind of hamstrung him. How long ago was the latest proposal rejected?
So it was about a year ago, and so they were given the opportunity to come back in 1 year's time, and that's now the current sort of challenge, is that the new developer is a new person involved. I've not met this person yet. And from what I understand from county staff, is that they're trying to use SB 35, which is a fairly recently passed state law that really kind of hamstrings the traditional local discretionary approval process. And so, in other words, decision makers would be able to look, say, at a traffic report and say, well, gee, the numbers may look okay, but we know intuitively from being on the ground, seeing the way that the actual traffic flows work, that this is not a good spot for this development. And so that level of discretionary review would be just wiped out effectively. And so the challenge would be, this person wants to come in and build 44, again, what we've been told, 44 units per acre on this little half-acre parcel. And with underparked parking criteria, it's only like 18 or something parking spaces. So it would be, you know, call it, I forget the exact unit count, but it would be a substantial number of units and less than one parking space per unit. So it's just
more like a half a parking space per unit.
Yeah.
And this says 24 unit single occupancy. What does that mean? Single occupancy.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to figure out. What is the intended use for that? And I guess we'll find out when they actually submit a project. They're in the planning phases of it right now. County staff has said that they're hoping to get some more information.
All right. I got an idea.
Yep.
You get, so it'd be 24 units. So you get 24 cars. You set up videos, and you get them on this empty lot, and you try to get them to exit and drive the way it is now and film it and see how that goes.
Yeah, you know what? That's a great marketing idea. You should consider a career in real estate marketing.
I should consider a career in real estate. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. My guest, Paul Bradford, no relation to Terry Bradford, or Terry Bradshaw, for that matter, or Paul Cronshaw. And he's, you can Google Patterson Neighborhoods. I mean, I really just thought of that idea. You probably can't do it because it's private property. You can't get on his property, but maybe you could park on the street and pretend you're exiting a driveway.
Yeah, and I think your point is well taken, that the issue is, again, for local communities to kind of preserve the local part of that phrase. You need independent authority. And again, I get the notion that the state is really struggling to build units and get people housed. And I was just Googling over the weekend going, why is there this absolute boom to just build? And I get it. And again, you need development for the economy. You need to provide housing for folks. But I just Googled, how many empty bedrooms are there in California right now? And depending on what site you believe, it's between 2.5 and 3.5 million empty bedrooms. And what if the state, instead of focusing on building new stuff, just tried to incentivize people to just rent out their existing bedrooms? And, you know, would that solve everything? No. But would it be a big boom if you got 10% of those bedrooms filled at a reasonable number? And let's say the state waived the income tax requirement for that income, and then, or conversely, and or said, we'll compensate you, Mr. or Ms. homeowner or apartment owner who is renting out a room to fill that bedroom, and we'll compensate you for whatever your federal tax obligation would be. Something, just get creative in terms of taking advantage of the existing housing stock that's right there.
Would you say that, though, some of their ideas would be ADUs and the mini ADUs and allowing super small ADUs within a house is kind of going in that direction?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the challenge would be, what would the realistic traffic impacts be, and would the local streets be able to handle that? So that's always a challenge. And whether you go the ADU route or AUD, or I can always get it confused, ADU or AUD, or this other kind of hybrid possibility, are up for grabs. So the other pieces of legislation that you probably have tracked that are coming down the pike is that Sacramento wants to kind of do away with single-family zoning and allow folks to build kind of, you know, 2-3 units on their existing properties. And just imagine looking at your left and looking at your right and seeing, you know, two-story projects jammed in. And that's, you know, again, a conversation to have, but it certainly would alter the quality of life for those folks who are on the ground now.
Yeah, and all those people that just paid huge dollars to move into a single-family residential neighborhood. And what's interesting is, not too far away from that intersection, there was a lot of land. Is it called Tree Farm? There was some big developments. That went through. That was higher density, but it was not right at the exit ramp. And it just seems like an amazing challenge to build there. And so that's on the table right now. And then the second proposal, you know what I should do is, let's take a quick commercial break. I was going to just have you on for one segment.
Sure.
But let's take a quick commercial break, and then we'll just have you on for a few minutes just so you can describe the location and what's going on with the second development proposal, which is actually just maybe a couple hundred feet away at the corner of Kyrie Allen and Patterson. And that, too, is apartments. These are both apartments,
correct?
Right? Okay. Paul Bradford, Google Patterson Neighborhoods. You can find out what he's doing. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.